Agenda item number 11, Charlie Gregory and his lease, oyster lease application.
Three items that didn't make it into the package because they came in fairly late. And this is a letter that should have been in the package.
Now, we'll reference that in my email. This is a oyster ground leasing application request from Charlie R. Gregory. His request to lease approximately 1 acre. Originally, the application was approximately 1 acre of planting grounds in Broad Bay in the city of Virginia Beach. The application is protested by a nearby adjacent Highland property owner, and as you'll see, there's letters from two additional adjacent property owners who came in relatively late. They live on either side of the main protesting property. We did receive an application from Charlie Gregory in January of 2014 for the application area shown on this map, the red area. These are all leases in Broad Bay, and this is a piece of public ground, the only piece of public ground in Virginia Beach, Lynn Haven, Broad Bay system. And this is the subject shoreline. A little closer view. The protestant lives here, and as you can see by the number of piers here, he is one of very few along this entire reach of shoreline that does not have a private pier. These two piers are the two adjacent property owners next to the lease, and they have expressed some concerns as well with the application. We did subject this to our normal public interest review, which includes posting this in the local newspaper once a week for four consecutive weeks, and also posting the notice in the area of the application. We received no objections at the time. The grounds were surveyed, and the ground was actually assigned on April 30th, 2014. So what makes this project unique is that we later discovered there was a defect in the notice, which I'll explain a little bit more in just a second. So we did technically assign the ground back in April of last year. However, in December of last year, we received an email from Dr. Deepak Talreja, who is the adjacent Highland property owner at this location in the Habersham Close area of Virginia Beach. He expressed some concerns about cages that have been placed very close to his shoreline. Staff exchanged numerous emails and phone calls between Mr. Talreja over the next few weeks, and we provided him with basically the information on how leases are administered within the state and the sections of the Code of Virginia that were relevant. He did express a concern that as a property owner, he was not notified lease so close to his property. We informed him that we did follow the requirements of the code, which again, as I stated earlier, include running the newspaper ad once a week for 4 weeks, posting the notice in the area, and posting the notice at the local courthouse. Subsequent to some of those conversations, he asked to see all of that information that was in the file. In compiling that information, we discovered that the notice was not posted at the courthouse. It was posted locally in the area, but the courthouse was not one of the places it was posted. The code is very specific that is one of the locations that's supposed to be posted. The other local postings we get to pick, and we actually have law enforcement do the posting for us. A little bit of miscommunication and maybe some staffing changes in law enforcement as to why this one wasn't posted at the courthouse as it should have been originally. Once we discovered that defect, We did reveal that to Dr. Talrazio. We also informed Mr. Gregory that we believe there was a defect in the assignment and that we believe that we would have to bring this before the commission to see whether he could retain the lease or have it reassigned or whatever action the commission decides to take. But we did consider it now protested, and we did re-notice this at the courthouse as required since that time. So all the legal, we believe all the legal requirements have been met. We did notify Mr. Gregory pursuant to some of the issues that Dr. Talrazio raised, that we weren't certain that he had placed cages on the lease by this time, by the fall of last year. And there was some complaint by Dr. Talrazio that perhaps the cages were not set pursuant to our regulation that allows leaseholders to put cages up to 12 inches on his lease. We had law enforcement investigate that, and they determined that the cages were in compliance. However, I believe that Mr. Gregory did move them further offshore. They were within the lease the whole time, but they were very close to the shoreline. And I'm assuming Mr. Gregory can address that later, that he moved them somewhat offshore in hopes of alleviating the concerns of the property owner. The concerns of the property owner are that he says he does plan to build a pier at this location, which, as you can see, there's not a lot of room here. It would have to be somewhere in this area where the lease is, and probably, generally speaking, either in the center or maybe slightly to the left. You'll see in a picture later, there's a brick wall here and an access that goes down to the beach. So the landowner has concerns about the pier and the cages interfering with any potential pier he builds and the use of that pier for navigation. He also indicated in a number of phone calls with me over the last few months that, you know, his family uses this area in the summer. There is a sandy beach all along here. They use it for recreation, and that, you know, perhaps a jet ski could be brought into shore here, and cages in this location just really present an issue with that use of that. We did correspond eventually with Mr. Gregory a second time, and this is the plat. This is what was recorded. It turned out to be 0.74 acres. We did, at the time we surveyed this, discourage Mr. Gregory from going so close to shore, my surveyor at the time, but he indicated he would like to get the maximum amount available. So we went as close to mean low water as we felt comfortable to remain under state jurisdiction. But it still turned out to only be 0.75 acres. There's a number of pictures here sent to me by the protestant. This is taken from his backyard. Again, here's the brick wall and the access down. And these are the cages, 15. I have a number of shots of these. This was after it snowed, so this is why it's white. It's snow on the ground. And again, the cages are basically in the same location. And again, this was taken on the same day, just a different angle. This picture was taken actually by Dr. Deepak Talrazio's neighbor next door, Mr. Waters, who has expressed some. He wrote us a letter as well, which I handed to you, expressing some concerns. I believe he's the property owner on this side. The reason I included this photo was, one, to show you that he has concerns too, and that additional cages were added, we believe, within less than the last 2 weeks. There were approximately 15 cages there, and we believe there's about 21 cages there now. Again, we did repost it at the courthouse, and since we now believe that it was defective being assigned originally, and if the application is protested, we kind of administratively assign it. That's why we brought it to the commission. Just like if this had been protested back last spring under the normal public notice, then it would have been properly noticed. So we don't believe we can assign it or confirm the assignment without some kind of commission action. Since we've received a protest and now a number of protests from a number of property owners here, and the nature of those are that these cages in this location, pretty much anywhere on this lease, kind of constitute a hazard to navigation and also conflict with uses of these property owners, of navigating around their pier and use of the beach area. So it appears that the vast majority of this lease, if not all of it, is really not particularly suitable for cage aquaculture, which gets us to this point and what to do with the existing lease in cages. While we do understand that Mr. Gregory has some frustration in the fact that there was a commission error in posting the notice, we cannot support a recommendation to reassign or assign this lease at this location. And we did offer to Mr. Gregory in February by letter an offer to, and we had spoken to him previously to see if we could maybe locate another piece of ground in this nearby that would be suitable, that we could run an ad for and have a sign that we could swap this area for that area. We offered that in a letter. We offered that the commission would pay all the costs, advertising, survey fee, recording an assignment would all be waived. In other words, we would take this money that he'd already paid for this application and apply it to the new application, including the cost of his advertisement, which, of course, he paid the ad for this one originally. We don't need the applicant pays that. We didn't hear back from him right away, but eventually we did hear, well, in the interim, we identified an area, but before we could contact him, we actually received an application from Mr. Gregory in the name of Beach Oyster Company, which is owned by him and his wife, I believe. One of the areas we had identified would be a suitable area. We noted that in the letter we sent him, that we were encouraged that he had identified the same area we had identified. But after subsequent conversations by email, it was determined by the Gregories that they wished to pursue attempting to retain this lease and seek the new area and run the ad on their own and go through the process. So that's what we've done. We have started to run the ad for this other area at their expense. So we are probably at least 2 months away from being able to assign that, because it has to go through the same process. We have to run the ad and we have to survey it. And of course, it could be protested. We don't know that for certain. The subject area is actually go back to the plat so I can show you where the so this is the current area we're talking about. The area he applied for and that we also identified is this area right here. So he applied for most of this area. As you can tell, it's considerably larger than this area. Our offer was to run an ad at no cost to them. If it was assigned or some portion of this, that we would swap that area at even cost. So in essence, we offered possibly a larger area at the same cost as this area here. We do understand that in the past, before Mr. Gregory had a lease here, that he was actually using Mr. Sanford's lease right here to put some of his cages on. So we don't know whether that's a future possibility or not, but as a place he could move these cages should you decide not to lease this area. But so this, we do know that he's applied for this area and that he has used this area to the north, which is a suitable area as well on the Sanford lease. So these areas are suitable for the cage aquaculture activity that is being done here by a number of different people. And Mr. Meekins to the east also does this type of activity as well. So this is a graphic. You saw the pictures, but this gives you some idea of where the cages currently are located on the actual lease. So these lines here are the actual lease as it currently exists. This line represents the footprint of the cages, all of the cages as currently there, 21 or so. These two lines to each side are the piers. These were located by our commission surveyor in the field within the last week or so. So, in summary and recommendation, while we do understand Mr. Gregory's frustration that the ground was assigned and had been used for quite a few months before there was any objection raised, and that such concerns were not raised during the initial period, we still believe that the assignment was defective due to the fact that the full notice requirements were not met, albeit by an error by commission staff. We did attempt to provide a solution to Mr. Gregory for another possible ground nearby at no cost to him. Mr. Gregory chose not to accept that option. We do believe leasing this subject area that we're looking at right now for both cage and traditional aquaculture activities would constitute a conflict with the stated and existing uses of both Dr. Talrasia's within his riparian area and to somewhat of a lesser degree to the neighbors on either side. Should the commission agree with staff recommendation to deny the application, we do recommend allowing Mr. Gregory 30 days in which to remove any existing cages and shellfish within this area. We would also recommend refunding the cost of his original survey, reporting and assignment fee, and the ground rent he paid, prorated for 2019, and he's paid the rent for this year, already paid on this parcel. That would total $690.63. $675 of that was the survey cost, $13.50 was the recording and assignment fee, and he's paid up to date $2.13 of rent for the partial 2014 and for the current rent year, with a total of $690.63. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and we did consult with our legal staff on this, and if there's any questions about the notice and the proper assignment or not assignment, I would defer to his legal expertise.
Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Questions? Mr. Sussman.
Yeah, I have a question. What is our policy or code? How does that address when there's a potential conflict between someone that wants to lease for aquaculture and, navigation or dock? Is that codified? Is there specific criteria?
Well,
or is it a policy?
The short answer is it's kind of first come, first served, the way the code's written.
Right.
So had Dr. Talrasia already built a pier here, you know, the gap here would have been so small that, you know, we someone could still apply in between this area, even if there was a third pier here. We would have to take their application, but we would strongly discourage them, and we've tried to discourage Mr. Gregory from applying to this at the very beginning, actually. But if someone's already built a pier, then we don't lease underneath a pier unless they are the property. The lease applicant is the property owner, and then we might lease under their existing pier. But we would stay offshore of the existing piers. If someone wants to build a pier through someone's existing lease, which would be the case if this lease is held to be valid, then, as you've seen cases in the past, it's a little bit convoluted code sections. If the pier is 100 feet or less, there's one section of the code that applies, and then it's really a civil matter. If it's more than 100 feet from mean low water and goes in someone's lease and the leaseholder objects, they have to show us that the ground's productive. We have to agree, and then we are obligated by code to minimize the impact as much as possible of the proposed pier into the lease. But the code says you get a pier by permit, and we will issue a permit. We will just minimize the size, basically, and maybe we can convince the person to move it. The oysters are in one location on the lease and not in another, and could they move the pier? But that's a negotiation process that we get involved with as staff. Piers that are less than 100 feet to go into a lease, it's a civil matter that the leaseholder can hold up the pier builder for up to a year to allow him to move the oysters to a different location on the lease or harvest them out of the way. And then after that year, the person can build the pier. So there's a tiered approach to that, but that's kind of the way that works. But the first person there kind of gets some rights to dictate what happens. So if the leaseholder's there, he gets some control over how the pier's done. If the pier's built first, when you're surveying oyster ground, and we don't like the lease underneath people's piers, and we try to stay away from them to some degree. You'll see these other leases offshore, like this one. There are piers all the way down the shoreline, and we have attempted to just stay offshore. But sometimes people want to go in and out around piers. Sometimes it's a really good area for cages because it's hard bottom.
And then you have to look at and see how it affects the pier and the navigation into and out of the
right.
pier.
And we really anticipated this would get protested. In retrospect, perhaps we should have brought it to the commission last spring as an unprotested application, but it was not protested, and we went forward. Unfortunately, there was a defect in the notice.
Other questions? Mr. Zegar.
I understand what the legal requirements are, but, I mean, when you're dealing with property that's located right there, you deal with millions of dollars of property. And I would think, I'm going to use the word prudent, would be prudent to notify the landowner that that affects. From those pictures that I saw, I got no problem believing that that's an aid to navigation problem right there. Or not an aid to navigation, it's a navigation problem. I mean, you can't get anything around those pots. You can't even get a canoe around there or anything. And I would think that in the staff's consideration for that, when your man goes out there to survey or whoever you send out there to look at the site, that they would see that you know, here is a real ritzy residential area, and the reason it's expensive because it's on the river, and that the person who bought that would have some reasonable expectation that he should be allowed to use the water, and then these pots, I haven't actually seen a real pot, so I don't know how big it is. But I can see that picture, and it looks like it's halfway out of the water. And so you can't even walk past that. I mean, you'd have to walk around each end over there. And I guess I see an entrance right there. It looks like to me to be some sort of an entrance or a steps right there that go down to the beach. And that would be an eyesore for anybody trying to use that beach looking out there. If they wanted to bring a boat in there or anything like that, you'd have a navigation issue. And also, looking at it from the guy who owns the pots, I have a boat, and when I run across a crab pot that's not properly marked, ain't much of that crab pot left. And so if you have a situation like this, even, I don't know what kind of tide that is, whether it's a low tide or...
A little lower than normal.
Okay. So if you had a normal tide or high tide, and the neighbor was coming in there, and you didn't see those things, and he'd hit it with his boat and tear the man's pots up. And I'm sure they're expensive, so I think there are a lot of issues with that. And what I'm saying is I understand you're following the code, but I would ask that the staff take a prudent eye towards something like that and say, hey, wait, you know, legally, yeah, you can do this, but practically, me not. And here's the next step, is to notify that landowner in writing or a call. I know it's not required, but maybe the prudent thing would be to do is to notify that landowner, and then we wouldn't be sitting here listening to this. So that would be my two cents.
We're very aware of that issue. We had a task force last year that studied all these issues, including this one. There was a bill introduced in the General Assembly to require notification of adjacent property owners within some distance. It fluctuated as the bill was being maneuvered around the General Assembly from 500 to 100 to 300 feet from the shore out. And we are sensitive to that, and we understand this issue, and it's become much more forefront because of cages now. This lease, you know, and albeit this is a poster child of what you just said, this is a lease just in a very small area, right up to one person's property, and we really, when we stuck it, we thought for sure it would get protested, because we stick stakes on these corners with flags on them. That usually prompts a phone call. And I understand your part. The problem for us at staff level is this one's pretty clear cut. But when we have a lease application that goes along half a mile of shoreline and it's residential development, you know, do we notify every single one of those people? And how close to shore is too close? Where do we stop? Do we go 100 feet past the end of the application and notify those people? 500 feet past? So it becomes problematic for us. We would like to see, I personally, as the chief engineer, would like to see the law amended to address this situation and give us some real criteria that we could use. It didn't happen here, and that's why we're here. Unfortunately, we're here kind of secondhand because of the defect in the notice, but had the property owners known, they would have protested it last spring, and you know, had we called them, they would have known, obviously, yes. But we didn't. This is the situation we're in. We're very sensitive to that, and I think the commissioner is aware of that, having studied this issue for the last year and a half. This is a very sensitive issue. I will say, this is a little bit low tide, that this lease could be used for traditional on-bottom, you know, clamming or oysters on the offshore part at least, and it might not constitute any interference to these people's use of this. You wouldn't might want to walk out there on oysters, but you could navigate a boat in there. Our position is, if the commission were to approve this lease today, we may require Mr. Gregory to remove all these cages anyway, because the homeowner has now said these constitute a navigation and recreational use, and our regulation that allows up to 12-inch cages, which is what these are, we have the right to tell the applicant, sorry, on this particular lease in this particular location, cages are not appropriate pursuant to our regulation, and virtually all of this lease is not really conducive to cage aquaculture. So even if Mr. Gregory keeps the entire lease, I'm not sure how much of it we'd allow him to use for cages.
Thank you. Mr. Erskine.
Ben, you had mentioned to the east there was an area that's vacant or unassigned, that the Mr. Gregory has applied for, and how far along in the application process is that?
Well, they applied, and we wrote them in February with the offer. They applied, I believe, in January of this year. And we were already in discussions about different areas. They submitted three applications, actually, and two of which, you know, you may see in the near future because they've protested already. And then this third one, just the subject of the swap area that we kind of identified about the same time as an appropriate area. So this is the area that we kind of identified. And I'm sorry.
Right. So how far along is that specific area that you're identifying? Is it being public notice?
Ago they applied, but we didn't run the ad on this one. We started the ad on the other two because we wrote them a letter in February, the Gregory's, and said, this is an area that we could swap. Please let us know, are you willing to go that route? Subject to review, you might not get this lease because it could protest it too, but if you could get this area, would you be willing to give up this other area? We wouldn't have to come to the commission like we are today. At our expense. But I didn't want to run the ad until I knew what their position was. And they didn't respond right away. And then we had some email conversations, a couple of weeks later. So we just sent the ad to the paper.
Okay. Thank you.
It has to run 4 weeks.
Right.
And it has to be posted at the courthouse.
All of those things will definitely be done on this one. Trust me.
Any other questions from the commission for staff? Mr. Sutton.
I'm real familiar with this area, and it does surprise me that you have cages in between piers like that, because this is a real busy area with watercraft, jet skis, boats, and I've even taken my boat up in, I don't, not that particular lot, but along that stretch. Is the alternative that you've offered to Mr. Gregory as encumbered by piers and docks?
No, it's further offshore.
Is it?
Again, this could get protested, possibly by landowners, but we don't know what will happen. But we believe at least the offshore part of it would be suitable. Mr. Meekins definitely uses his lease, which is right next to it, and Mr. Sanford is using the one to the north of it. And Mr. Gregory actually has had cages on Mr. Sanford's lease in the past. So, and we've got no complaints about cages on that lease that I'm aware of. I mean, it's a potential area that is.
Yeah, I think if that's less encumbered by structures, the one that you're talking about is an alternative than where it is now.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Stack. Is Mr. Gregory present? Mr. Gregory, I need to swear in here. Do you hereby swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, sir.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Charles Gregory.
Mr. Gregory, what do you want to tell the commission about this situation?
I don't know what really to say, sir. I applied for this piece a year ago. I asked Mr. Stagg and the rest of the engineering department when I applied for it what they thought. They said apply for it and receive opposition if you have any. I didn't have any. And as far as I know, public review only stands for 30 days after the piece is surveyed. why public review was taken this far into consideration this long, I don't know.
Okay, anything else to add?
I was told this is all based on a visual complaint that he doesn't want it in front of his house. Hey, there's stuff happens all around us every day that we don't want. I did lawfully what I had to do to obtain this lease. I thought it was law enforcement's responsibility to post it at town hall. Is that correct?
Correct.
So why do I have to take the effect of law enforcement for not properly posting? Why do I have to pay if somebody's human mistake? I invested a year of my time and money in my oysters and growing oysters in that river to better the water quality for sheltered mode aquaculture farming. Right now, I don't have a piece of bottom of my own to put my cages on. I've applied for 3 pieces. I got 2 of my applications in the mail, and I was told that I had to take my other piece that I applied for and negotiate the piece that I have now. Hard time swallowing that. Y'all understand? I don't know. I'm at y'all's mercy.
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Gregory, how do you feel about moving the possibility of moving, you know, to the east to an area that's unassigned? If in fact you get approved for that, would that be something you would agree to?
Can someone flip back to the other picture of the included oxygen? Y'all say it's a navigational hazard. I've got my cages drug down here now. They're 12 inches tall. They're sitting on the bottom. How can you get a boat in there if that's less than 12 inches of water?
Mr. Gregor, could you please come back to the microphone?
Well, I'm just saying, if my cage is 12 inches tall, how can you get a boat in there and that be a navigable hazard?
I'm not sure that was Mr. Erskine's question.
I was asking that unassigned piece of ground that you have, I guess, applied for, that BMRC said they would be willing to swap with you. Do you feel that would be a suitable area for you to be able to move those cages?
I've applied for that piece of bottom.
I understand.
And my business corporation's name. So I could enlarge my oyster growing capability rather than this one little acre I have. I wanted to get bigger as a business. Me giving up a piece of bottom for another piece of bottom really doesn't enable me to get bigger. You see what I'm saying, sir? I mean, this is super deep. I'm in between 2 docks now to where I'm not in a navigational hazard. The piece around that y'all are willing to swap is in deeper water. I'm in more of a navigational hazard. You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
It's deeper water.
Mr. Erskine.
I completely understand, and I appreciate what you're trying to do, and I agree with it. I just think that there's some areas to conduct aquaculture and some areas maybe that aren't as suitable to conduct aquaculture. And I would think at this point you have an area that seems to be contentious. And I would suggest that maybe you want to look at all options available to you or maybe available to you to appease some of those concerns.
I realize that, and I don't want no conflict. I've made my living up that river my whole life. I don't want no opposition from the homeowners or nobody. And if I've got to walk away quietly and give up that piece to appease somebody, I guess that's what I got to do. But I'm not going to do it. I don't want to. You understand?
I understand. There just may be an alternative, is all I'm suggesting. Thank you.
Mr. Ziefer.
From here, there's that pier on the left-hand side.
Yes, sir.
You look out in the water. Is that a crab pot sitting out there, or is that?
It's right after the ice storm. It looks like something that's floating. The white stick right there, the survey marker.
No, up.
Right there?
Yeah.
Something floating, sir.
Okay.
I mean, that's ice. That was taken back in, I guess,
during the ice storm in January or February.
How far would you have to go away from the shore to put those pots under the water, even on low tide, to where, say, a boat like a Carolina skiff with a regular old outboard wouldn't hit it?
At high tide, that lead, it stops 10 feet from the bulkhead, and I guess that dock's probably 100 and some feet long. Those cages right now are in 4 feet of water at high tide. I drug them down there in December to get them into deeper water because of the cold, so they wouldn't freeze because it's all sea. I mean, that whole leak at high tide isn't but 3 feet deep.
Well, what I'm saying is, how far do you, if look at the tide just like it is,
yes, sir.
How far do you have to go out to get them underwater?
That's an extremely low tide. Last month we've had an extremely low tide. I've drug them down to where they were underwater, except during that extremely low tide, because I didn't want them to freeze. You see what I'm saying, sir?
I hear that, but my question is, we see the pier there. How far would you have to push them out to make sure that they're under, you know, water where you couldn't see them on low tide?
I'd go probably right there at the end of that dock.
Could you ride a little Carolina skiff over it?
At high tide, you can ride a Carolina skiff over them. That's just, we've had an extremely astronomical low tide last month.
All right, the next question is, I guess, does your lease go out there far enough so you could, say, put it 50 feet out there in the water?
I guess that's probably 20 feet past that dock, Mr. Stagg.
Is that where it ends?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Is there anything to add, Mr. Gregory? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard in favor of this application? Please come forward, ma'am. Do you swear the testimony we'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God? Please state your name for the record.
My name is Joanne Gregory. I'm not his wife. I'm his mother. That's all right. I just want to clarify that. No. The three applications that he submitted in January, we sat down with the laptop and I said, you know, here's a spot over here, here's a spot over here, because we want to expand our little family business. This was our first adventure in him getting a lease of his own. And, yes, we do have cages on Mark Sanford's property. I don't know that Mark's lease has enough, there's an ample area left to hold many more cages. Just as, you know, as the seed grow, they constantly have to be separated and more cages added. And that's why we have the more cages here in front of Cal Rage's property. But the whole point of us applying in our company name for those were, like he said, we want to enlarge our business. It's a small family business, but we have other family members that want to get into it. I said I was opposed to the swap of the current lease to the lease on the property on the end, because we don't know that that's going to fly. If that's opposed and we have voluntarily given up this one, what are we going to do with our oyster seed that are growing? We can't put it on land, and we have no other lease area. So that was my reasoning for not agreeing to move until a later date, if that's what it was. I just want to clarify that. I'm a believer in working on the water. We've done it all of our life. Generations of it has done it. I just want to clarify why we didn't initially go for the swap.
Right. Any questions from the commission?
Yeah, I got one.
Yes,
Mr. Zeter.
Are you saying that if you were able to obtain that other piece of a parcel so that you could put them there, that would be acceptable to you?
It's a possibility. I mean, because we have no other place to put these cages if y'all deny this lease. If you strip him of the lease now, it was issued last year, we have no alternative but to take these cages out of the water and lose the money that we've invested.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mrs. Gregory. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard in favor of this application? Anybody wish to be heard in opposition to this application? Please come forward. Do you swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Deepak Talreja. I grew up here, actually, in Virginia Beach. I actually grew up in that house that we bought from my parents back in 2012. It's actually interesting. This is the conversation about the pier park, because in 2012, when we bought it, we actually had some folks come by and talk about redoing the bulkhead and the pier, and we couldn't afford to do it at that point, but we started getting that together then, and we have our pier application starting to get ready to go now, so what that's worth. From our perspective, and some of this is our innocence and naivete and not knowing how the system works, but around probably September-ish, we started noticing cages appearing in the water around our house, and we hadn't been aware of any of that, so we got in touch with the Homeowners Association. No one could track down whose they were or who they belonged to, and so in the end, we have some friends with Lynn Haven River now, and they managed to track down to us the VMRC site and find the lease. And that's when I started communicating with Mr. Stagg and saying we just had no knowledge of what's going on. No one in our neighborhood, our homeowners association, no one actually knew any of that was happening. So, and I recognize that's our ignorance of not knowing the process. But we questioned how the notice was given because there was nothing posted in any area that we had access to that said that. And over this period, you've seen a lot of photos. I probably have another 100 I could show, but I'll spare you that if you don't want to see them. Shows evolution, and the area is kind of extended. And this is certainly low tide, but there's pretty much no day that you can't see the cages projecting above the water. And even when they're below, you can see the water lapping against them. Our children, we have a 9-year-old and 11-year-old, and they've written letters to you guys as well that I'll pass along. We paddleboard, kayak, and canoe in there. The neighbors all navigate that area, and you saw in Mr. Waters' note, or Dr. Waters' note, that he had friends swimming there, and he warned them to sort of stay away from that whole area. So this is the area that we, frankly, used to enjoy the water around us. And frankly, the cages, some of you haven't seen them before, but they're probably about this big by about a foot high, and they're fairly sharp in that area, so the kids are kind of terrified of being around that spot. So that's our reason for saying you can't even get a kayak or canoe or a paddleboard around it much of the time. And when we bring in the jet skis, the neighbors loan us and so forth, there's no way to get through that. So our feeling is this really does interfere with, one, our ability to navigate around the water around us. Two, the biggest thing, and my wife was here this morning. We didn't realize it was going to be quite so late, so she and our neighbors that had come from the Homeowners Association had to go. But what she asked me to convey, and I'll do it a lot less emotionally than she would, but it's just safety of the children. That's one of the things for us. It really feels like it creates a huge impact on us. That's her biggest issue. Ours are navigating the water, and then you saw in the letters from neighbors on both sides, and more folks have offered to write letters, of course, but basically this has obviously been a very key issue as you kind of addressed our whole homeowners association has been kind of riled up with the thought that homes and one thing we love is seeing the tranquil water out front. It is fairly disruptive to see cages sitting out there, and pretty much any low tide, 2 to 3 hours before and 2 to 3 hours afterwards, you see the cages projecting. So I have sympathy for the Gregories. I think it's great to grow oysters. I just wish it weren't so visible that it intruded on our ability to see the water in front of us, our kids' ability to get out in the water around us, and our ability to navigate that water. Can I answer any questions?
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Talreja, I appreciate your concerns. It doesn't sound to me like you have opposition to growing oysters or aquaculture, that kind of entrepreneurial activity. Are you familiar with the area that seems to be to the east of your property and whether or not that might be a suitable area? It seems like there are some cage culture operations already in that area. Would you support that and maybe educate your homeowners association about how beneficial it might be to have an operation down there?
I'd be happy to help you.
Thank you.
I do have a quick question here. I believe Mr. Stagg had mentioned that you have plans to construct a pier there in front of your property.
Yes,
how far along are you in that type of thinking?
So usually what we're thinking is when we do the pier, we probably have to redo the bulkhead as well. And so we talked to three different groups of folks, and the bulkhead part's complicated because they're either going to have to come from the land or from the water, and most of them want to do it from the water, and that ends up being pretty expensive. So that's probably a combined thing. So how far are we along? We're just getting ready to submit applications and sort of finalize who who would actually do that, so we're not.
Any other questions from the commission?
Quick question.
Mr. Sessions.
Yeah, since you're a lifelong resident there, what is in front of the area that we're talking about, a possibility for them to relocate to?
Well, I'll be honest, I don't know entirely, but that looks to me like where the old Hall House used to be, and then that area where there's you run in that market. Mm-hmm. So you've got Broad Bay, and then you've got there's a cut into Broad Bay that cuts one of the golf courses, and then I think it's part of Godfrey Lane and the reserve that's right there. I'm guessing that's in that space kind of between the two. Am I right about that? Or?
Dyes Cove, Over Street Cove.
Right.
Dyes Cove? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Telledge.
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak against this application? Please come forward, sir. Thank you. You swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the true self of God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Please state your name for the record.
I'm the speaker's father, Dr. Talreja. I'm a physician, too.
Welcome, sir.
I'm the one who built that house about 40 years ago. That old AM. By the way, that is the first house built in the entire golf course and at Broadway. And I was the one who built it, and I raised my children there. And I'm very emotionally attached to this lot. And I'm the only one that does not have a peer, because we are not the peer people. We are the view people. So I raised my children in that water, and here is my son who bought this house from me. And I'm hoping that my grandson is going to buy it after that. And the grandson was reading a very emotional letter saying that he can't even go out now in that area because of the fear of the cages. And they cannot even take their little canoe or a little paddle boat or anything there. So navigation about big boats is not the concern. One is the view. And what Deepak was just telling you is absolutely true. I go to the, I visit it all the time. I'm retired. So I spend more time in his house than he does. The cages are visible all the time. High tide, low tide, no tide, is all the time. And they're increasing in number. And I was kind of surprised. None of us was even notified in any kind of a formal letter to us. I think your recommendation that at least in that kind of expensive properties, at least the owner should be notified that something is coming in their backyard rather than posting it in different places and expecting them to go look for this information. So none of us knew this was going to happen. And I really think Mr. Gregory had some concern, and that other option that you're all discussing, since I've lived there for 40 years, I know this whole area, and I used to walk that area before any home came here. That would be a very appropriate site for his business. And if there's any financial concern for Mr. Gregory, since I've lived there so long and I'm concerned for my children and my grandchildren, I would help him even financially to help out his needs. I hope you consider all this, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Talreja. Appreciate it. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Mr. Gregory, you want a minute or two to rebut, or do you have anything else to add? Sidebar. Yes, please. Please, Mr.
The offer of the swap, we'll call it that for a better term, was contingent. Dr. Talreja has been very patient in this process. He's pretty upset when he initially called us what was happening. He didn't understand what was happening. He's been more than willing for us to allow Mr. Gregory to keep these here, even though we think the lease is defective. And we could have taken an action and said, we don't think the lease is valid. You have to take the cages out until we can sort this out. And he's been very cooperative. I think he'd still be very cooperative. The offer was that we would run the public notice in this other area. And if they got the lease, they would be willing to just drop this issue on this lease, and we would pay all the cost of the new advertisement and everything and the survey fee for the new area. But it was contingent on them actually getting it. We weren't really asking them to just give this up, hoping in 2 months they got the other lease. The reason we're here is they said they didn't want to agree to that offer, so we have to resolve this one somehow. That offer, I think, from staff's perspective, is still valid. We just sent the notice to the newspaper. We can call the newspaper at any point and adjust who pays for the ad. That's what it's all about. Again, it would still be contingent on them getting that area. And if they don't get it, and you deny this today, I understand their frustration. They're out. They don't have any ground anywhere. But that was the offer. It wasn't. We weren't trying to say, no, you have to accept this offer and just take your chances on the other lease. It was contingent on. And Dr. Torreja was agreeable to allow these to be patient another month or two. I know he'd like to see these gone sooner than later, and particularly by summer. But that was really the staff offer. So, and I think it's possibly still on the table, but it's really up to the commission how you want to handle it.
Mr. Staggs, as I recall the notification process and whatnot, just getting the ad to the paper now has to run 4 consecutive weeks and get posted at the courthouse.
Yes.
And then there's a public interest review for another 30 days, if I recall. How fast could you get this other lease application processed?
I think best case scenario, you know, pushing the limits of what the code says, we could do it in 60 days, give or take, from the day the first ad ran, which is probably this week. Probably will be this week.
Then the next question I would have would be whether or not the Calrasius would be willing to let those cages sit as is till that process.
The reason I brought it up, because had this all happened a month ago, the 30 days we offered today would have fit right into the end of next month. That would have, maybe, if it doesn't get protested. Again, you know, this other application could get protested. But we're a month behind now.
Mr. Tenwish, would you come forward here and see if you can help us out with that particular aspect of this?
I'd love to find a way to help. So can I suggest this? I'd be willing to do that. Maybe what we could do is move some of the cages so at least we can get out of our land with the kayaks and paddle boards if they were moved a little bit to the side. But I guess what I'd ask for is, as part of that, if in 60 days that's not approved, I'd hate to end up spending a whole day here again. So what I'd like, I guess the way, I'd agree to that contingent on the fact that it's 60 days one way or the other, we settle this and does that make sense?
Thank you for that gracious offer.
I have a question for counsel.
Mr. Zedron.
Is there any way that this body can reserve that tract of land so that and make a swap without advertising it and that type of thing?
No way to make the swap. In terms of reserving it, it's not really a way to do that either. It's basically, you can say it's all in the public interest review. That's the standard, is the public interest. So, you know, you could perhaps say any future applications for that land would not be in the public interest, but that's really generally a case-by-case determination. It's not really a way to set it aside.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak on this matter, either in favor or against? I'm seeing none. The public hearing aspect is closed during the matters before the commission. To find a path forward.
I guess I have a question for staff. Staff recommendation was to basically refund his fees and what he's paid and to allow a 30-day buffer for him to remove his cages from the current lease. The staff recommendation change with what we've discussed today? Would the recommendation still be the exact same thing, but maybe 60 days to remove the cages?
Staff is comfortable with the 60-day frame, and I think from what we just heard from Dr. Calrasia, they would be satisfied. If the matter is pretty much resolved today, that would be, you know, a motion that they would have to move. If you don't approve this lease, they would have to move the cages somewhere within 60 days.
And I guess
we'll do the best we can to get the other one noticed. And
then it comes down to that, the who pays what kind of thing. And then if we refund all their fees and applications from the previous lease, then your offer of paying for the new stuff, that makes sense. But I guess if we refund all this dollars, and they're responsible for paying for the advertising.
Right. That's the reason that because we felt they didn't accept the offer for the swap idea. So we did make a mistake in the notice. So we would refund. We can't refund the cost of buying the cages, but we can refund the cost of getting this lease. And this would be all the cost except the $25 fee they paid at the beginning, which is non-refundable per the code. We would refund all the other costs that are implemented by the commission, at least, to get this lease. And then that money could be used by them to pay for this other. It's a swap, but it's a swap of just money instead of land.
Mr. Sessions.
So are we on track then with Mr. Gregory having an application in Well, this other piece that we're talking about, that would come prior to the expiration of the 60 days?
We can try. If it's protested, you know, we'll have to come back here and...
Mr. Gregory has currently three lease applications.
Two of them are already protested. Not the swap area.
And you say protested, but we still will hear it.
Unless we can resolve the protest, at least one of them, I'm pretty sure we're not going to resolve it from the comments I've gotten. There's still two marinas, and they're not going to probably back down.
Mr. Bailey.
And I think the important thing to keep in mind is that the fees are probably an afterthought compared to the rest of the costs he's incurred with getting in this lease. Just off the top of my head, the cages are probably $4,000. The oyster seeds, more than that. So he's got a significant investment that we gave him a lease for. The fees are, in my mind, trivial.
Yeah. Mr. Erskine.
And I appreciate that there seems to be a negotiation that's taken place, but I do think that there's significant investment. I agree with Mr. Ballard. And I don't know that I feel comfortable with a 60-day time frame that doesn't allow Mr. Gregory an option to go somewhere with his cages and his product. I would feel more comfortable with a compromise that would be pending the approval of this swap area or this unassigned ground. He would move those cages from the and give up this existing lease if the other one was approved. If it was protested and not approved, he wouldn't have to move those cages until the time that the other area was approved.
Commission.
Yeah, I guess I think it was unfortunate this was ever leased. And if there was ever a place that should not have been leased, this is it. I mean, this just should never have been. So there shouldn't be cages there. So that decision was bad. But I don't disagree with what you're saying. So there ought to be some place that we're going to be able to find him to put these cages that aren't on these people's beach.
And I think in addition to that, with Mr. Talrazier and the rest of that homeowners association working diligently, maybe to educate the other neighbors if there are concerns, maybe we would get past this. And in 60 days, we have a situation where we wouldn't have to worry about this. I agree. It was leased in the incorrect area.
And I kind of feel a moral obligation to kind of drive that point home a little bit further. These are stead-owned water bottoms. Leasing stead-owned water bottoms is leasing state property, and there's some places they're just not right for it. It's just not right for aquaculture in some particular areas, and it causes more troubles than it's worth. So I'm asking folks who are burying the agency here with LEAP applications to be a bit more judicious in where they would seek the lease water bottoms. Mr. Cedar.
I understand both views, and Mr. Gregory here has got a tremendous investment in that. And reading that article we were talking about from the Eastern Shore where those pots got frozen and then washed out to sea, I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So I'm sympathetic to his financial investment as well as I am to the homeowner, okay? And I think to put a time limit on when this process is going to happen, and staff keeps talking about, well, wait a minute, you know, if somebody protests this, that, and the other, or whatever, it may take longer. And it would be my position, and I know it's an inconvenience to a homeowner over there, but what is he going to do with those oysters if come 60 days, you got to take them out? You go kill all those oysters. I mean, he's telling you he ain't got nowhere to put them, so we go put them on the ground and they go die? And so my thought process is, why don't we continue this matter for a period of 60 days and see where the process is? I think it's important enough for us to consider both of these parties and come back, you know, back before this commission, so that if something happens and the process is not there, so that we can rule on, you know, let them have that, and so where he has something to move. I mean, giving him a 60-day ultimatum is just like killing him right now. I mean, we're hoping the process is going to work. But if it doesn't, what happens to his product?
Yeah, I guess my opinion is this lease application should be denied. But I do agree with everyone else here. We should do it in a way that allows him to keep his oysters and not lose his product. And you know, we hope we can do that in 60 days. But whether we want to state it in a way,
we can move as fast as we can. There are other leases in the Lynn Haven. There are the leaseholders. I'm just saying, we can't force him to make any agreement with any other leaseholder. But there are other leases that he could negotiate. We certainly can't force that. Should he find that within the 60 days, he could move them there, even if we don't have the other application done yet. But I don't have any issue with the approach you're taking.
Could we deny this application, but give him ample opportunity to move these cages with no time limit on it?
We need to ask counsel that, because if you deny the application, don't they have a certain amount of days to get them all?
Well, the problem here is that the lease was void, so he's not really, he doesn't really have
a lease.
Right. So the cages are basically there illegally now, and it's just kind of a state and adjoining property owner grace that we're talking about rather than any sort of.
I would suggest that's all the more reason we just continue this matter and not make a final determination on it.
Mr. Sessions.
And I'm in agreement with that, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around the idea of the replacement ground. That is being applied for by Mr. Gregory. It's in the process. We know it may be contested. And your best guess, when could or would that show back up here?
Well, if it's not contested, I guess in theory we could be back here not next month, but the following month.
Okay.
Best case scenario. Just to report back to you that we have assigned it, or we're getting ready to assign it any day. It was not protested, and you can decide then what we want to do about the cages and moving them or not, and not voiding this lease or whatever you want to call it. If it's protested, it could still be here in 2 months. I mean, I can bring it as quick as I can bring it within the constraints of the public notice.
Okay. I still agree with what you said. I just was trying to get my arms around that. Yep.
I guess you're saying you want me to bring it back either way, even if we can just legally assign it with no protest.
Well,
if this other piece is not protested, the end of the public interest period, we can assign it.
If we continue this matter here, where does that put the property owners?
He's waiting.
And I would also make that part of that motion that they move some of those pots over so he can get his kayaks or whatever out.
I mean, these could be moved so they're not in one long line. They could be moved so that they're with three lines that are each one shorter. They could be.
Up to the commissioner.
Yes, Mr. Gregory.
Commissioner, I work with Mr. Talajar. I mean, I don't want a conflict. I'll move them all over in a line so his family can work as long as I can work with y'all until I get a lease that I can put my cages permanently. Man, I got a million oyster seed right there. That's a lot of money.
I know.
And I've held off because of the conflict now and the weather being as cold as it is to separate my seed. I've been kind of holding off because I didn't want to put more cages there and cause more conflict. But it's warming up. I got a million oysters, man. That's a lot of money and a lot of time. And I can't sit there and not separate my seed as spring would come, as I naturally would do. You know, I can't just sit here and hang out and oysters die, y'all know. I got to tend my gear and work my stuff, but I don't want to cause no more conflict than what I've caused.
Okay, I appreciate that, Mr. Gregory.
I mean, I'll work with Mr. Talajar as much as I can for his family. I'll move him over to the edge. I mean, whatever I got to do. I just don't have nowhere to put him right now.
All right, it seems to me that the options are... Mr. Erskine.
I had a question of Mr. Gregory. It seems in some of the testimony that you had worked with some of the other adjacent leaseholders, Mr. Sanford and Mr. Meekins, maybe in the past?
With Mr. Sanford, I have his lease is full of cages of mine down there just to the east of it. I mean, there'll be a conflict from that homeowner in front of that, just like Mr. Talajar, because of so much gear in front of his house.
Well, I guess my question for the trying to address this issue here, would you be able to move some of that gear as you split out the seed to Mr. Sanford's lease and work out something with him? Is there enough space to be able to maintain and not lose that seed in the meantime we're working through this process?
There's
or Mr. Meekins
there already.
Do you know Mr. Meekins?
Yeah, I know Mr. Meekins, but as far as him willing to lease me a piece of bottom, I really doubt that's pretty slim.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fortunate enough Mark Sanford leased me a piece of bottom or sub-leased me a piece of bottom.
Well, it seems to me that we have potentially another path, which is the unassigned ground that he's currently applied for, which is going to advertising and then public interest review. I think the sense that I heard was that it's most likely to be less protested than the current location.
Correct.
I would not like to make Mr. Gregory and his cages nomadic, but if we move them over to there, pending that application being brought back before the commission in 60 days, either with or without a protest, maybe that solves the Talrasia's problem right now, solves Mr. Gregory's problem of making sure these oysters are still in the water and still eligible to be worked to a degree. Maybe that's at least a temporary fix.
So basically you're moving them from one unleased place to another unleased place. Yep. But a place that we're likely to lease to him.
Mm-hmm. Kind of what I'm thinking.
Allowing him to move his oysters through that place before we move it over to you.
Let's get council's idea on that.
It's basically no different than allowing him to stay where he is now. Again, it's just essentially you're going from one place where he really has no right under the law to have his cages now to another place. But at least in the new place, it'll be more likely that he will gain a right to have them there.
Let me ask you this. By us encouraging someone to place these cages illegally on state-owned property,
right?
As opposed to where they're at now, was due to a mistake.
It doesn't change the analysis, though. The law is very clear that essentially when you deal with a government entity, you have to be sure they have the power to do what they're doing. And if they don't, then it's void and you're out of luck. And it just so happens that the statute requires the advertisement to be placed in the places where it requires, among them the courthouse, and it wasn't done here, so the lease is void. And you can argue certainly that we encouraged him to put his cages where they are now by issuing the void lease and really telling him to put it over there and in a different place is not really any different than letting him keep them there.
Well, the only thing I'm concerned about is that we don't know if that's protested under what basis. And it may be, just here's a hypothetical. Suppose that we allow him to do this, and then either the Corps or Coast Guard comes in and says, ain't going there, navigation hazard. And it's a situation where we're pretty much, it's not deciding between the landowner and the commercial guy. I mean, Coast Guard tells you it ain't going there. And so that kind of protest, I don't see how we could override. And I tell my clients this, I don't have a crystal ball. So I don't know what's out there. And so by moving these pots may not be the best thing in the world. I mean, I don't know.
Mr. Sessions.
I guess to your point, when we lease ground, typically, it's the property owners that come and oppose it. It's not the Army Corps or the Coast Guard, I wouldn't think. So if we move it over there, I don't think we've ever heard from the Coast Guard coming in and opposing it or the Army Corps, have we?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I don't know if that's navigable waterway or if it's, you know, that's what I'm concerned about.
Now, if it was the Dye Cove I'm thinking about right here, it is not. It doesn't have the same structure this does. It's more of a cove with some fringe marsh around it.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of the Corps or the Coast Guard ever having an objection. I mean, we actually worked with the Corps for our regulation that allows 12-inch cages. They don't consider that fill, which is kind of amazing in the Norfolk District. They don't do that in other states, but I didn't say that.
The Corps in the audience.
I'm not aware of any. I mean, there's cage agriculture all over the Lynn Haven and Broad Bay in these same shallow. And so far, I'm not aware of any objections from the Coast Guard or the Corps. Certainly, someone puts them in a channel, just like a crab pot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah, this other ground isn't anywhere near a channel.
Okay.
I was only going to suggest that there are cages already in that area on Mr. Sanford's ground, so. I think that, you know, I'm not sure if the Coast Guard had something to say, they probably would have, or the Corps. I just wanted to ask staff, this issue came up when? I guess I'm trying to get at, were there cages in front of Mr. Talreja's house this summer?
The lease was assigned in April of 2014.
Okay.
We got an email, I think the email chain is in your packet. This fall, I think Dr. Torreta testified that sometime late summer or early fall, they started noticing cages, so that's when the cages were initially placed that they saw them, and they started investigating. It took them a while to figure out who we were supposed to call, and they eventually got to us.
So he had some impact last summer as well?
Latter summer and early fall.
Recreating, okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, what do you all want to do?
I would make a motion to accept staff recommendation of denying the permit, allowing the applicant 30 days to move the cages, and refunding all his fees, but in addition to that, allowing the applicant to use that piece of bottom that was initially proposed as a possible swap. That would be my motion, to go ahead and let him start using that bottom that he's already applied for, that has yet not been protested. So that would be my recommendation.
All right. Everyone understand the motion? It's a motion by Mr. Neal. Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Mr. Zedra.
I would move that we continue this matter for 60 days to be back before us and report the progress of that application, and in the meantime allow the Mr. Gregory Dare to maintain his plots where located, except for configuring them so that it doesn't impede with the landowner's ability to access the water.
Can I ask a question regarding that?
Yes.
Okay, so not moving them over to the replacement ground, keeping them where they are for 60 days, so basically we're on hold for 2 months.
Right.
And wait for staff to report and see where we are.
I worry that if that new ground is not approved for whatever reason, he's already moved his pots from this place to that place, and then we're going to tell them, hey, man, you got to move somewhere else. And so, I'm concerned about that, and if the landowner's in agreement with him reconfiguring his pots until we can kind of ferret through this, that would kind of make everybody happy.
And I guess I'd bring up the point of whether we even have authority to do that. As far as I understand, this lease is void. We don't, you know, we're whether he wants to kick him off, that's up to him. And I'm not sure we have the authority to say that he can continue to operate his cages there. That's really an understanding between the two parties that I'm not sure we can be a part of.
That's why I was asking him, would it be okay with him? And here's something I need to ask a question for is, and I'm going to understand it from you guys because I don't know nothing about this. I guess the pots, as they grow, have to get increased. But understanding that, I mean, can he, like, go turn that line around to go out and over some so that even the expansion won't hinder the landowner's access to the beach?
Mr. Cedar, I can help explain that. You see the little pole out there in the water on the left?
Yes.
Past that is public oyster ground. That's set aside for public oystering. It's unavailable for leasing. It's unavailable for use. We can't have them put cages in the public oyster ground.
No, but if he just turned, let's say he turned that so the last cage is equal to where, yeah, turn it that way and not go stop at that pole you're talking about, that gives the landowner all that excess there to come in and out, and then maybe he can grow. How far does this thing go over to the right?
So the blue lines are the lease. These are the two piers. That's the current alignment of the cages that are there right now.
All right. What I'm talking about doing is taking that line and making it that way, and then, you know, you might be able to put even two side by side and still give the landowner access to the to his property. I mean, it, you know, that's a question. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
the bottom is very similar in this entire area. It is a little deeper beyond where the cages are. It does start to drop off, but it's very shallow in this entire area.
At the risk of this getting really out of hand, Mr. Talreja, you have something you think is helpful, correct?
Yes, sir. Since I'm running, you must be attached to this part.
Can you come forward?
Could you come forward, please?
Yes, sir. The entire purpose of this meeting, from our point of view, is not the configuration of where to keep them and what shape to keep them. The last summer was one. There's another summer coming up. So two summers we are going to say, and you have already established that they are there illegally to begin with. I'm not going to make a decision for you, but I hope you consider this, that is moving to the alternative site, and I have walked that site as much deeper as you have been there on your course. That would be more reasonable to us than this idea of having reconfined and just put them in one row or another row or make it. So this we do two summers for something that is illegally there.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Talreja. I appreciate that. All right. Well, last we heard, there was a motion by Mr. Zedron. Would you explain it again, please?
To continue for 60 days or whatever that meeting is, so that'd be April-May meeting. Continue this matter to the May meeting with the understanding that Gregory here realign his pots in accordance with what we're talking about, so it minimizes the blockage of the owner's property. And then that's it.
That's the motion. Is there a second? Is there a second? Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Is there another path forward?
I'll give a stab at it.
Mr. Stephens.
That we allow the pots to be relocated from where they're located now to, I call it the replacement ground, whatever we want to refer it to, within 30 days, 45 days, and then wait for his application to work its way through.
My motion. So I'm clear here. It would be voiding lease and allowing Mr. Gregory 30 days to move his cages to the plot to the lease ground that he has now under application. Okay. Correct?
That is correct.
Okay. That's motion by Mr. Sessoms. Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a second by Mr. Neal.
30 days, not 45, right?
30 days from the assessment.
Which would be your staff recommendation, plus allowing the movers.
That's the staff recommendation. Mr. Sessoms, does your motion include part of the staff recommendation about the funding here, the $690?
Correct, that the applicant has refunded that money.
Okay. So how's this different than the staff recommendation?
We're letting him move.
We're letting him move the cages.
Cages. Yeah,
sorry. An unleased area at the moment.
Gotcha. Thank you. Okay. Motion by Mr. Sessoms, second by Mr. Neal. Any further discussion that I don't confuse?
Can I ask a question before you vote? Is this a confirmation that we're avoiding this lease?
Correct.
I think it's void, but a confirmation that it was not properly assigned.
There's no...
Okay, I don't...
We're denying the application of this.
Right.
Almost prematurely letting him have the application for the other lease.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously.